Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Force to the Max is on the air. News Talk 830 WCCO taking up the Minnesota Twins and an earlier start time, 7:30 pregame, 8:05. The first pitch is the Twins keep rolling. Last night, I didn't even think they wanted to win. They found a way to blow them out. It was something, man. Three pitches, three runs, and away they go. The University of St. Thomas was not even voted out, I guess. They just came out with a statement eliminating them from the MIAC. And that was a conference I played in many years ago, and Mark Dienhart coached in and played in and was the athletic director of. We've had many conversations over the years about the MIAC and the grandeur of it. He joins us now because this has been a people are still really trying to get their arms around this thing. And Mark, first of all, thank you for joining us. And second, I mean, did you see this coming for a long time, or has there been times in the past where maybe I've missed it, where there's been conversation on this?
Yeah, you know, Mike, I didn't see it coming. And I, in my previous role at St. Thomas, sat in on some of the president's meetings, and there was a time about a dozen years ago when there were, believe it or not, there was an effort in Division III to create a Division IV. There were some schools that thought there should be no off-season training programs, there should be no postseason play, there should be an attempt to return to the day of the multiple sport athlete as if they could control all of that. And there were a couple of schools in the MIAC that were in favor of that. And when it was being discussed at the presidential level, and I had some input, I just said, you know, what you're dooming the MIAC for is a lot of kids who are very serious about their sport, but aren't going to play at the scholarship level and don't want to, believing that all you're interested in is intramural athletics. And that's not the whole idea of higher ed. It's to explore the things that you have a passion for and to develop excellence in those things. But that was isolated. It was a dozen years ago, and I didn't see this coming. And frankly, the whole thing is very troubling.
I was, you know, the people that I've talked to said coaches in general from opposing teams want to keep St. Thomas in. This was a president's thing. Do you see it that way?
Well, if you're and you'd have this perspective too, given your time as an athlete at Hamlin. I mean, you don't want somebody to do away with the Yankees. You just want to beat them, and yeah. You want somebody to give you the resources to go ahead and do that. And frankly, when you look at this year, you know that's happened. I mean, Glenn Caruso's had great success, but he finished third in the conference in football, and the John Towers had great success, but they didn't win the conference basketball tournament. The baseball team didn't make the playoffs. And if you look at St. Thomas's success, it's largely been built upon enormous success among the women's teams over the years. And even if you look at the all sports championships, when people start talking about parity in the MIAC, there have only been five schools that have ever won the all sports championships. So what does that mean for the people or the schools that have never been able to win that? If parity is what they're searching for, is there going to be a time when they're going to say, well, sorry, you're a bottom ender and we're looking for parity, so see you later?
Well, yeah. You know what's interesting about this, Mark, is it's not that unlike, and you've been there, the Big Ten. I mean, the resources, the conversations, the what do you want to be kind of stuff, it's maybe not on the same scale, but once you get competition involved, it mirrors a lot of it.
Well, it does, and I have said this before, but when I heard that this was brewing, I was thinking to myself, boy, all those years I was at the University of Minnesota, I was really pretty much twiddling my thumbs and wasting my time. I should have been figuring out how to kick Michigan and Ohio State out of the Big Ten rather than trying to improve things for the Gophers. But I do think that this is troubling because what it essentially says is that, okay, you didn't do anything wrong, didn't not play by the rules. It's just that you happened at this point in time. And the pendulum always swings on this. There are always times when certain schools are dominant. But at this particular time, things are going so well for you that we're going to kick you out. And you know, what message does that send? And what message does it send to the next school that might end up floating to the top of the MIAC?
Do you think, do you subscribe to any thought that there are people at St. Thomas or either directly or indirectly that welcome this? Because if you leave the MIAC on your own, you're going to upset a lot of alumni. But if you get kicked out, now you can revisit whatever it is vision that you have to change St. Thomas's athletic program.
You know, I'm not inside the institution these days, but from everything I can tell, there was absolutely no intention of manipulating things like that. St. Thomas, they have to face right now the whole decision about do we try to move up a level to Division II? And frankly, again, I think there are lots of Division II schools that don't want to be Division II schools. They're sort of caught in the middle between Division III and Division I. But you have to go there to get to Division I. And that road to Division I is a long and perilous one. And when you get there, you might find yourself being just, cannon fodder on the ESPN ticker tape for big schools that are looking for money games and somebody to beat up on. And so there isn't a good ending on stuff like that. And people who are knowledgeable about it realize it costs a lot of money. It changes the culture of the school. And for many of us who wanted to play at a non-scholarship environment and wanted our kids to do that, it would probably cause us to lose connection with the institution.
What do you think is the best option right now?
Well, Phil Esten, I think, is a very capable guy, and he's been given a pretty tough task. I keep thinking to myself, boy, coming from Penn State and being dropped into this, living in the shadow of what transpired at Penn State was tough, but this has got its own challenges. I think what you got to do is try to find a Division III, if that's the philosophy you're going to abide by, and I hope it is. You got to find a Division III conference that wants you and you want it. And, people are talking about the WIAC, and that's a very strong conference, but it's also it's a conference made up of schools that are publicly supported. And there are a lot of advantages that they have by virtue of that. So if you're the only private school in the mix, that puts you in a difficult situation, plus the travel and a lot of other things. But you can't afford to be an independent. And if there was something like a Midwest conference option, the question is, do you want to have people traveling, your kids traveling all the way to Illinois and Iowa and, this really damaged St. Thomas. The troubling thing for me is I think there were schools in the conference that simply wanted to do that. And some of the reasons may have had nothing to do with athletics. It may have had to do with the fact that St. Thomas created an academic program that was in competition with an academic program we had. And so this is a way of getting back at them.
Well, does this do, I mean, the academic piece of it, I'm still a little confused on this because, there was a consortium, at least when I went to school, where you could take classes at different schools within Snelling Avenue there. Is there anything that changes academically about the institutions on this? Is this, are we purely talking athletics here, or is there anything that changes academically?
Well, that cooperative liberal arts college program you're talking about, I don't know if that had anything to do with the MIAC. I've got to say,
yeah, that's what I was wondering. I didn't know if that was part of the conference or what.
Well, I don't think the conference dictates that, but this sure changes the relationship among institutions. And, if you're on the St. Thomas side of things right now, it's pretty hard to treat everybody else in exactly the same way you treated them before. Because, right now you just went out and recruited a class to come in and who knows how many of them were student athletes, but at any one time at St. Thomas, there are about over 800 kids that are student athletes. Well, the kids you're recruiting right now don't know if they're going to be playing in the WIAC, if they're going to be playing at a Division II school, a Division I school sometime down the road. And in the end, there's this big question mark has been thrown into your brand and your recruiting, and it damages you. And, the sad thing is that I this was all done in a kind of the cloak of darkness. Nobody knew what was going on. And it sounded as though there was sort of a blackmail that was taking place among the MIAC presidents, where a few of them wanted to leave. And they told others, if you don't go ahead and vote with us now and come with us now, we're going to take off, leave you with a partial MIAC, and you're going to be in a really bad situation. So all of a sudden, it became this sort of unanimous kind of decision. And I guess the good thing about it being announced today is that now everybody's going to have to stand up and defend what they did. I just got to say that if I were an athlete or a coach at those schools, I would have been saying, well, wait a minute, you know, kicking them out is not what I want. I just want to beat them.
But and that's exactly what a coach that I talked to said. He says, I have a great success against St. Thomas, you know, and it's great to play them in all those things. But do you think that, I mean, maybe we'll never know the answer to this, but do presidents get a temperature from their coaches and their athletic directors, or do presidents, I don't even know how it works, do they have cocktail parties and they talk amongst themselves? How do you think that gets to them where they believe in this?
Yeah, I don't know that. This is a whole different group of people than what I dealt with at one time. And I'm not sure how they make a decision like this, but it's the message that it sends that's troubling to me. So it almost seems like it's an extension of this thing we see going on in a higher education institutions' campuses, where if something makes me feel uncomfortable, I have a right to have a safe spot, space, and whatever it is that's making me feel uncomfortable has to go away. So if it happens to be St. Thomas, it's not making me feel as elite and as successful as I should feel, then maybe St. Thomas has to go away.
Last question. Do you see the potential, given the fact that they've got good money power and donors and all those things and a big enrollment over the years, do you see the potential at all, knowing what you know and you understand the real intricacies of this, that they could be a Villanova or a Drake or a something like that?
I think it's a philosophical thing first. So what they've got to do is come to grips with the fact that they're no longer an MIAC school. They've got to find another home. And philosophically, are you so committed to the Division III level that you can't see becoming a scholarship playing institution? St. Thomas has been able to accomplish a lot, and they are a school with lots of donors and funders who can do lots of things. I don't think this was ever on the radar screen. It had been studied a couple of times and rejected. But who knows what's going to happen at this point, because the other options, the Division III options, are not very attractive.
Mark, appreciate it very much. Like I said, a long time ago that I was in that league and you coached in it, but this is just never anything that you ever fathomed, you know?
Yeah, you know, and it's sad because, again, I'm sure it was the same way when you were at Hamlin. You made lifelong friends from other schools, too, and you had those relationships, and you got together on the field after the game was over, shook hands, and sometime, 10 years later, when you were out of school, you were buddies, and you had the stories to tell, and it sounds like that's not going to be the case anymore. It's a sad day.
Well, Mark, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
You bet. Mark Dienard, who was the athletic director there, the football coach, and played football there. And at the University of Minnesota, of course, as athletic director, so he understands all the, you know, what it really means to go Division I. It's not just you sign up for it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.